I want to go to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1 through 13 and read a text. And what an awesome presence of the Lord. I say that every Sunday, but it's great every Sunday. It really is. And I don't take that for granted, and we should not. It allows us to connect with God. We hear His Word, we feel His Spirit, and it opens our hearts. And it's my hope today God can help us. Matthew 25, in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Yes. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And I want to talk about what was in those lamps that they had. I want to talk about the oil. Father, I ask in your great name, Jesus, that you would touch us, open our minds. Lord, anoint us today and anoint your word, O God. Lord, without your anointing, we go nowhere. But with your wonderful touch, God, souls can be touched, lives change. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. The oil, the oil. In this parable that Jesus told, the bridesmaid, they were similar. They were all about the same if you just looked at all of them. There was nothing to be different one from the other. But they were pursuing the same goal. They were getting married and to the groom, or the uniting to the church, to Christ, as the parable would tell us. But they all had a lamp, and they all had oil in their lamps. They were alike in so many ways. There's no reason to differentiate between them, because they all had lamps and there was oil in their lamps. So if you were to take this example and bring it into today's spiritual religious culture, you would say that they all had received the oil, or the Holy Spirit of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is always depicted by the oil. The oil is always talking about in the Bible the presence of God. So they had all been filled and had taken on the name of the bridegroom. They were all going to see the same one. They were going to meet the bridegroom. The interesting thing about there being 10 is that you'll never read of one man in the Bible ever marrying 10 women. Solomon at one time was married to 10, but he passed that up and went onwards, but not 10. And it's not about two nationalities even, but it's just saying it's a multitude, it's several people. Obviously, we know more than 10 people will be saved, but it's representing a nation, or representing a people that make a choice to follow God. And half of those who had the experience, they had the same experience. Their lamps, it didn't say their lamps were any different one from the other. The oil was just the oil. There's no reason for us to believe one type was better than the other. They all had oil, they all had lamps. And they were so alike in many ways. But one of the things, half of those who had the experience, just like the others, they had the same experience, but they didn't have the amount of extra oil that could last them until that time when the bridegroom comes for his bride. And very easily we understand this analogy is about the Lord coming back for his church, and the ones that he's going to take with him are going to be the ones that have kept the vessel clear and full of oil, nothing else, no impurities, but it's about those that he will come back and find ready and full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Very simple there to understand that. But the one thing they did not have in common, the lamp was the proof of their experience, and the supply of oil was the proof of the relationship. But the foolish bridesmaid didn't have extra oil. If you looked at them, they all stood there and they all had a lamp. And as they all had the same looking lamp, you know, they might have all been similar, they might have all been somewhat different, but they all had a lamp. But then they also had a vessel that had more oil than they could put in the lamp the first time. It was that oil that supplied the need until the midnight hour. When they started out, they had oil in their lamp. But they knew that as time goes on, we've got to have more than just what goes in the lamp for today. I've got to have more than just what I need right now. I've got to have another vessel. I've got to have my soul filled with His presence. And I have to have a pathway to get back to God that I can say, Lord, refill me today. Replenish the supply of Your oil in my spirit, Lord. I can't live without it. But the foolish bridesmaid, the five foolish, they did not have the extra oil. They thought it would be okay just to get by from that revival they had 4 or 5 months ago. And they got a little experience and they said, that'll be enough for us. I think we can make it. But the problem in the midnight hour, the darker the world gets, the more we need the light of this gospel in our souls. We've got to be able to discern between good and evil and evil and good. We got to know which way is up and down. Amen. John 1:4 says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Amen. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And He said that life was the light of men. That life is His Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that He fills us with. And it gives us light for a dark world that we live in today. More and more churches are trying to appeal to the masses by saying, you know, we're all pretty much alike. And you don't have to change that much. And you can come here just and, you know, and sample what we've got. Come in and leave. And a friend of mine showed me a video. He visited a mega church in another state. I have it on my phone. I have no use you hearing it right now. I've mentioned it before. But in that service, as he walked in and he's videoing it, he's walking in and you're hearing a live band sing very well, good rendition of the song Footloose, Footloose, Put On Your Dancing Shoes. And you know, when I heard the music, you expect people to just be rocking it, and they're just sitting there. I thought, now, even if we sang Footloose here, we'd be, you know, standing and clapping at least. You know, you'd be a little awkward going, is Pastor behind this? Does he know? But, you know, we'd be like, that song gets it, you know. But they were just sitting there. And I thought, even that song there should get somebody excited, at least about, you know, putting on your dancing shoes or something. But it had nothing about God. But what they were trying to do is appeal to somebody that might think you're cool because you're singing Footloose. And so let's go to that church. But there was just nothing, no spirit, no movement. That was their high right there. That was a scale of 1 to 2. They were at 2 or 1 at that point. I'm thankful today that we are apostolic and our emotions, amen, allow us to represent what is going on in our life and the glory and the joy of the Lord. Amen. Thank God that He gives us some enthusiasm. Their experience, you know, was beyond show. Those five that were wise, they had oil in their extra vessels, but it was beyond. You didn't see that other vessel. They didn't go around touting that, look at us, we've got an extra vessel. And you know what this vessel has? It's just oil, that's all. It's not the lamp, but it has oil for the lamp. It's not burning, but it can be poured in the lamp, so it will be burning. It's not for today, it's for another time. It's not for the daylight, it's for the darkness. Whenever we have that relationship with God, where we go to Him daily, and we know what it's like to have a prayer meeting, where we're crying with our face in the carpet, and we know what it is like to have a praise meeting, where we just giving God praise for that prayer meeting we had yesterday with our face in the carpet. It's having a relationship where, God, You're replenishing the supply, and I know You love me, and I experience what You got, but I want to keep on getting more oil as I worship Him in the Holy Ghost and as we praise Him and He pours that strength within us. The oil is simply this. It's just the presence, the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Ghost. When He fills us with the Holy Ghost, it's a wonderful thing. It surely is. But when you pull up your car and fuel it up for, you know, premium fuel or regular, whatever it is, and you fill it up, that's great. Celebrate. Go drive somewhere. But keep your eye on the gauge, because if the gauge gets too low, you're going to have to get back there before you run out. We all know those things. It's the same thing with your soul. We are both spirit and we are flesh. And my flesh exacts strength from my soul that's filled with His Spirit. It exacts strength. It takes His oil to let light shine on the inside. He made us to where we burn what He gives in us. We use it up. We use up the energy that we got today from the donuts and the coffee. Yeah, it's not the doctor's choice, but we all ate those little round things. But it gives you some calories, and if you don't work those off, they'll show up later. You know, and so, but we're burning. It's not a great illustration, but even bad food, we burn those calories. You better. But the Spirit we have within us, we're burning that. It's lighting the way. It's giving us a way to be a light that shines in a dark world. Amen. The soul and the spirit that we have, you know, they get divorced, and your spirit gets engaged to the Holy Ghost, and you get connected to God through His Spirit, through that soul, and your flesh nature has not been connected yet. And so you connect with God through the Holy Spirit. And like a woman who gets engaged, she's promised to somebody else, but she's technically still unattached. The old boyfriends come around and say, "Do you remember the good times? Do you remember that and this?" And she's like saying, "No, I'm engaged. He's coming very soon. My wedding is in 2 weeks or 6 months." Whatever it is, she has to say, "I'm already taken. You don't entice me anymore." See, in this life right now, we're not shielded from temptation. We've been bought by the precious blood of Christ. But the Holy Spirit within us gives us a light to shine in a dark world. Why? Because if He would have just filled 120 as He did on the day of Pentecost and come by with an ark and took them up into heaven, all He would have would be 120, and the glory of that would have long faded. Oh, but now there's an ongoing process. The Spirit is poured out in churches all over the world, literally all over the world. People are receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and that is the glory of God. And they learn to live for Him and walk upright before Him. What an awesome experience it is to live for God in the power of His Spirit. I would not take anything for this. It is real. It is real, that Pentecostal blessing. And I know it's real. Yeah, the oil gets used up in the darkness of this world. The darker the world, the more oil you need. I've worked in construction jobs. Things got really dark there. I needed the Holy Ghost a lot. I needed God's influence on my life, you know. And your light shines more in a dark place. I just got back from General Conference, a great conference and all of that. The halls are full of people just like us. You know, my light didn't make a difference there. Everybody had a light. Matter of fact, somebody that didn't have a light might be like, "Ooh, I feel a little uncomfortable here." But, you know, that's a great atmosphere. And it's great to get excited and to get thrilled with who God is and what He can do. But every one of us that have jobs, tomorrow we get up and we go to our jobs, go to our classrooms, and then we become a light in perhaps more of a dark environment, not a church. But we've got to keep full. We've got to let the influence continue to be God. Oh, Lord, I thank You for this great experience. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:16, he said, Paul wrote, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust." You won't fulfill the desires of your flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit means I've got to have that bottle, and that flame is burning, and I'm influenced and influencing because what God has given me. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm living for God in the Spirit. Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways." Everybody say, "all thy ways." That means in every way around you, In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your pathway. If I acknowledge God when I turn on the TV, if I acknowledge God when I turn on the radio in the car, acknowledge God when I get to work, acknowledge God in all that I do. When I acknowledge Him, I'm saying, Lord, look at this. Are you pleased with this? In all thy ways, business dealings, your neighbors, your loved ones, your relatives, even those you don't like, you just still got to let your light shine. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill our fleshly desires. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye to them that sell. They said, you go buy for yourselves. This is the Lord has given us this parable, this story. He said, this is what happens. But we know it's like that now. If somebody comes to you and says, could you give me some of what you've got? We know you can't do that, but we can tell them. You need to go and kneel down and talk to God and say, Lord, I want some of that. I want your Spirit, Lord, to fill me so I can walk upright before you in the power of your Spirit. Oh, it's the greatest thing there ever has been for mankind to enjoy. Trust Him in darkness and trouble and confusion and loneliness and silence and pain. Trust Him to be there for you. To light your way. Well, it don't fit with my lifestyle. You know what? We don't need to bargain and move furniture around yet. You know, if you get new furniture coming and the truck's coming down the road, you hear it and you're like, well, let's start making room. You know, you got to make room for things like that. Here's the deal. When you let God into your heart, the Holy Ghost starts working for you. It's like movers that get in there and say, all right, what can we do with this? And it starts letting you understand what in your life needs to be moved around and what it is that needs to be cast out. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's walking in the Spirit. That's walking in the Spirit. In every way I look, Lord, what would God say about that? How does God feel? It causes you to start lining up a little bit, doesn't it? The wise gave good instructions to those foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise, they had another vessel. They said, we took something with us because we knew darkness was coming and we didn't know when the bridegroom would come. We don't know when. None of us know the day or the hour. But I want to be involved in a spiritual transaction constantly where I'm keeping my other vessel, where my soul is being filled on a daily basis. Where my soul is being filled. The influence of God needs to be the greatest influence in my life. His influence must be greater than what I have in my flesh. See, every one of us have weaknesses. Every one of us have tendencies, you know, in our own minds, the way we are. We might have got it from mom or dad or grandma and grandpa. It might be just a connection and collection of all those things. But we all have tendencies that weigh us down and cause us to disappoint ourselves and disappoint other people. But the Spirit of God covers those things. He covers that. And He fills us with His characteristics. By being filled with the Holy Spirit, by reading His Word, the Spirit and the Word, they agree together. And it begins to change the way we live and walk and talk. I know this is simple, but it's the greatest simple message ever. That Jesus Christ gave His life that we might have life more abundantly. Abundant life, abundant life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The foolish, they had oil, but it was just that oil from last Sunday. That's all right. Last Sunday was good, but it's running low and it was getting lower. They're wishing they'd have been there at Tuesday night prayer. They wish they'd have been at midweek. They could have prayed through again. They could have put some things under the blood. They could have said, forgive me, God. But you know, if we're not being influenced by God, we're being influenced by something. Amen. We're being pulled by something at all times. And it better be God. That's really the best thing. That's really the best thing. The foolish were living, they really were living on the edge. They were barely surviving on their feeble attempts to stay saved. Because they just had that little bit in the lamp and there was no external supply being provided for them. We can't live successfully for God unless we have that relationship where daily we're going to Him. The wise, it rings true today, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Go to those who sell. Who are those who sell? I think really most of everybody here, I know there's exceptions, you probably receive the Holy Ghost in a church. Some of you maybe got it at home. That's wonderful too. Started a church in Fort Lauderdale, and our first convert got the Holy Ghost in her home. And she called us, and she said, "My name's Kathy, and my sister called me and told me I needed the Holy Ghost." And so I knelt down, and I'm praying, and I started saying things. I don't know what it was, but it amazed, made me feel amazing. So I think I got the Holy Ghost. My father-in-law said, "I think you did too." First thing you need to do is connect yourself to our church. You need a church. You connect yourself to our church. Thank God she did. Amen. God's blessed her and her family. She's still living for God, lives in Atlanta. But she was our first one, and we didn't get to pray for her. She got it by herself in her living room. Amen. What an awesome thing that when she received it, somebody gave her a good word. Get to a church. And we had this wonderful, large church the size of an average living room. It was a living room. And she came into our living room church and met us there. And when she came in, you could just see the look on her face was excitement and joy. See, God will always make a way for you to connect to a body that can help you live for Him. Amen. They didn't have to tell them where the cellars were. You know, the foolish, they knew where the cellars were. You know, people know where the churches are that sell this stuff. They know where it's at. They know where the apostolics or those crazy Pentecostals are. They know, they know. I'm glad to be one of those. So glad to be. The foolish knew very well where to buy it, but they just didn't want to turn loose of the currency. It just didn't want to turn loose of the currency. Oh, it just costs you a little bit, doesn't it? See, in order for me to be filled, I got to make room for God. And some of the things that I got to get rid of to make room for God, we already know what those things are. We cannot have sin reigning in our mortal bodies. We've got to get rid of the sin to make room for the glory of God's presence. Amen. And to get rid of sin is the easiest thing in the world. It's easier than getting rid of the debris you clean up around your backyard and the limbs and all of that. You got to chop it up and put it by the curb. All you got to do about the stuff that's in the way of the Spirit is just say, "God, forgive me today of all the sin in my life and the things I've done. Forgive me." And that is all. And He takes it away. He takes it away. Thank you, God, for knowing what we need and knowing what to do through us. Oh, thank you, God. We've got to let go of that currency. Can you imagine that they had the experience? See, this is not talking about saved and unsaved. It's talking about people in the church, which should really cause us to pay attention and say, "Wait a minute, that could happen to me." It comes down to this: what's influencing you? What is influencing you? Do you have an extra vessel overflow where the presence of God is, where you have some testimonies, or you have some spiritual breakthroughs? Do you have that other vessel that's there so that whenever it gets low, you can take that vessel and you can pour into your soul? You can lean back on it. You can rely on it. Do you have an experience? Do you have a testimony today of something that God has done for you lately? That's a real good way to say and to test whether or not I've been living in that realm where God has got His Spirit upon me and given me extra supply. That's a very good way to know. What has God done for you lately? Amen. Now we must identify where and how it can be purchased. Well, the oil is for sale in God's presence. I can tell you that. I could say, "Well, you got to be at a church." I've heard of so many people like the Kathy that came to our house that first day. I remember her saying, "I was just in my house, kneeling at my sofa and praying, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost." And we understood, here we are, a church home. She gets the Holy Ghost in her home. So it was not a stretch for her to come to church, her first service in an apostolic church, in a living room. She thought it was wonderful because her living room's where she found God. You can find God's power anywhere. But isn't it awesome that you got a presence, that you got a church, that we got music and we can sing and you can feel His presence and you can be filled and God can replenish your supply all the time. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jeremiah 3, coming to a close. I'm not there yet, but I'm just giving you hope. Jeremiah 31 and verse 12. "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice and dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them. It's talking about the church, amen. And I will make them rejoice from their sorrow, and I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. He's saying my church is going to be a place where you're going to be satisfied. I will give you what you need. I will satisfy your soul. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of worship and praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The wheat, new wine, the oil. The wheat is the bread of life. That's the word of God. And the wine is the saving blood of Christ. And he said, is drink indeed. The oil is the same golden oil that flowed through the pipes into the golden candlestick, signifying our own souls when filled by his spirit. The Bible is replete. It's got so much illustrations in it and types that we can look back and understand. This wasn't brought up on the day of Pentecost. They didn't invent it then. The Lord had put this way, way, way back there, saying, here is the model. This is the foundation of what is going to be my church. And my text today lands us right in the middle of what that church is. There was five wise and five foolish, and those wise ones, they had that other vessel, and they kept that vessel full because they knew when he comes, it's going to be a dark time. And I want to tell you, the world we're living in right now is a dark time. The things that are being passed or being argued in our government are things that you wouldn't have thought about 20 years ago that people would have even considered. But trying to take a baby's life a week before it's born, or whatever the line is they're drawing now, and trying to think it's all right, and children have more rights than their parents, and parents can be sued by the kids. You're hearing things like that today. And all I can say is, dear Lord, please come quickly. Amen. How much longer can we be like this in a God-forsaken society? And in that society, there is thousands and thousands of godly people. I've just came from our conference. We've been hearing some great reports of what God is doing all over the world. And oh, what an awesome, awesome thing it is to be a part of this wonderful experience. Thank God, thank God. The oil has to make a difference in your life. The oil has to make a difference in your life. Some people receive the Holy Ghost and they think, well, that's it, I've got it. You know, I got the prize, got the ticket, I'm ready to go. Lord, come anytime you want. Meanwhile, I'm going to go live my life. But you got to go back. You got to go back and get more oil. You don't just get filled with the Holy Ghost and say, I spoke in tongues, I heard myself, somebody told me I did. That's the sign that you've received God's Spirit, the sign of tongues. That's wonderful. But we got to go back there. We got to continually go back to that altar. We got to go back and pray through to that. Amen. And just there's an understanding. God realizes there's different personalities. There's people that don't like to pray in front of people, and then there's others that don't mind doing anything in front of people. It's just people are different. But understand this: God has a place for you. God has a way in which you can approach him, and he will pour his spirit in you. You don't have to be a spectacle. It's not supposed to be embarrassing, but it's something wonderful when God gets a hold of you and pours his presence. Oh, it's an awesome, awesome experience, and I'm so thankful for it today. Amen, amen, amen. In a natural sense, our old nature must constantly be under the influence of the Spirit in order to stay upright and holy. I got to be guided by God all the time, y'all. I don't take Mondays off. I do from maybe church stuff, but I don't take it off from God. That'd be dangerous. That'd be dangerous. I got to be plugged in every day. I want to be plugged in every day. Amen. I don't want this to be something that I can put down. Oh, I've got to go back. I've got to go back and get more oil. I've got to let God replenish the supply. In a natural sense, our old nature must constantly be under the influence of the Spirit in order to stay holy before God. We have to be under that influence. Amen. We've got to be under the influence. We're being pulled down each day, and we must keep our supply of the Holy Spirit at full capacity. Let it spill over. Just let it spill over. That's good. If it's spilling over, that's all right. That's all right. You ever driven to work and you're still basking in the blessing of Sunday, and you just start to stop at a red light and you just start thinking about the goodness of God and you just start speaking in tongues? Amen. You know, hey, trust me, it's you're under control. Don't be afraid you're going to go into work and that's all they're going to hear, and you're going to get fired and your family's going to be poverty stricken. It's not like that. But it's all right every now and then to just get alone with God, even at a traffic light, and say, God, I just want to thank you for yesterday. I want to thank you for the goodness. I want to thank you for your blessings every day of my life, Lord. Help me to stay in line with where that oil is being poured out constantly. Amen. We must be constantly under the influence of the Spirit, because the world doesn't let up on its influence. It's never going to let up. I've heard this preaching all my life. It will never stop. Amen. When I was growing up in it, we were hearing them preach against smoking pot, drinking beer, and boys having hair a little bit over their ears. And my pastor did not like it. He wouldn't let us have our hair. That was hippies. That was drug culture. And we couldn't. And if my mom or dad ever saw my pastor or his wife, she was worse or better, however you look at it, ever saw them come up to me and touch my hair and ask me a hair question, then the next day I got the haircut that I didn't want. And so I tried to volunteer myself. That's the stand. That's what we fought with in those days, because the movement in the 60s was, you know, it was all about rebellion. And, you know, it was a terrible time for all. But the church, you heard them preaching on ladies' skirt lengths and guys' hair length. Yeah. Yes, that was the thing. You heard them. And the pastor said, all right, now I'm looking around and these people need to blah, blah, blah. You know, that's the way it was. But Paul said, though our outward man perish, this guy is dying right here. All right. Folks, 70 years from now, I may not be here. I'm giving myself a lot of years if you hadn't done the math there. Because I don't want to put a number on there. But, you know, 70 years, you all won't see me for one reason or another. If the Lord tarries. Because my outward man is perishing. I've got a pain in my right leg. I don't know what in the world's wrong. Not now, it's just certain times. It just lets me know, hey, you're almost 60. You're almost 60. That's what the pain is like. It has like its own little voice. The outward man is dying. The outward man here is not doing really well. And I'm not enjoying it. Thanks for laughing. We have to laugh. But see, the outward man will diminish when paying the full price for the oil. It diminishes me to live my life in such a way that I pay full price for the oil. I got to die. Paul said, I die daily. I got to kill myself daily. I got to rob myself of what I desire daily. I can't say, well, you know what? Time out. Just go out there. If I used this illustration last week, I'm sorry. Again, I'm almost 60. So I'm going to get away with all kinds of stuff. But my dog, his name was Amos Moses, named after a country song. And I was mowing the yard, and he was always like right there at the fence, just right there at the fence, wanting to get out. And I had to mow the yard, and you have to squeeze in there and lock the gate, chain link, pull the mower back and try to keep him, because he was always wanting out of the backyard. And so, you know what? I thought, poor dog. I opened the gate, and I said, just have fun. Run through the neighborhood like half the other dogs do. Just go ahead. And I went in there and cranked the mower, and I was mowing the backyard, and I wondered, you know, I wonder where he's at. He had went out and found some piece of trash. Back in those days, you just had garbage cans, no plastic bags. Found a piece of trash and brought it in the backyard and was just playing with a piece of trash in my backyard. He went no more than 15 feet, got a piece of trash, went right back where he was at, said, I'm good. I thought, you got the whole neighborhood. And you went to the trash can and brought a piece of garbage back. And he's happy with a piece of garbage. I thought, that dog had all that. And he chose a piece of trash. God has given us the whole world. He's given us the whole world. Yeah, but we've got these fences. Thank God for the fence. Thank you, God, for the fence. And Lord, if I know the gate's open, and trust me, we're bond servants. But we can leave anytime we want, because he's not telling us you got to tie yourself to the pew, to the church chair. No, we can do anything we want. I like this place, and I don't need to go to the garbage and drag something back. I don't need the garbage can stuff in my little kingdom that I have with God. He's good to us. He's good to you. He will give you the desires of your heart. Where we get in trouble, this is where we get off the wrong exit, as we desire things. and we begin to go and obtain the things that we don't need to get involved with. We don't pray about it, but the things we go and get a hold of because we think we deserve them, they will take us away from the merchant. It takes us away from the one that refills the oil. It takes us away from the prayer meetings where we cry before God and cry for our loved ones and cry for our children and we cry for our spouses and our marriage and our homes, and we're doing other things and getting caught up in a busy life when we need to be replenishing the oil. We need to say, God, refill me with your Spirit, Lord. Lead me, guide me in my life, Lord, and bless and protect my family. Build a wall around my children, if you would. Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, let it be your will today. Not mine, but Lord, take me to the place of the oil. When you purchase fuel for your car, the musicians can come. You swipe a card, doesn't hurt a bit right now. But then you know later there's a void in the account because you gave somebody the right. So it costs you something. It didn't hurt to swipe, but all done behind the scenes, electronically, it costs you. Christ is our example, and he gave us the key to receiving the oil. Not my will, he said on the cross, but thine be done. He paid the price. He purchased it for us. He purchased our salvation. After Calvary, he goes into the room to the house where the disciples were. He came two times. Once he just appeared. And as they're there standing around their table, or I picture them standing around the table, I don't know. And the Bible said he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. He told them where to go. Tarry in Jerusalem. There's a place, y'all know it well. Tarry there till you're endued with power from on high. Because he said, not my will, but thine. If I get in that mode right there, Lord, not my will, but Lord, your will be done. I must replace my will with his. When I leave here today, I'll have more of God and less of me. That's all right. That's how I want it to be. Amen. Anything else means that you're going to leave the way you came. That's not good economy. I want to leave changed. I want to leave differently. The word must replace my reasoning. The wine must be applied, the type of the blood of Christ to cover my sins. The oil then will flow as his Spirit resides in my clean heart. And in that room he told them to go to, they were all assembled. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there they were in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues of fire appeared. The flame appeared in that initial outpouring. It would later be over 3,000 that day that received the Holy Ghost. But that 120, there was flames of fire, letting them understand the whole connection. It went all the way back in the Old Testament. This has been proclaimed. It's been prophesied. And they understood it very well. The holy oil was poured in. See, King Saul was anointed king. They poured the oil, a vial of oil on his head. So did Prophet Samuel. But when he anointed David, he took a horn of oil and he poured it on that young lad, and it ran down his head, down his beard, down his face, into his clothes. The fragrant oil would be there and he would be reminded of it for a long time. But it was symbolic and gesture, but telling him, the anointing of God is upon you. They didn't receive it inside, it was external. Thanks be to God as we stand. Today, we are in a place and involved in an awesome process where God pours out his Spirit upon anybody that asks him. The oil will begin to flow as his Spirit resides in the repentant heart. Repentant just means to turn around and say, God, forgive me. Holy God, holy God. Lord Jesus, Father, I pray in that name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your Spirit abide here today. And those that are willing and needy of your presence, God, oh, let the Holy Ghost prompt them to ask, and they will receive. Then Peter said to them, they asked, what must we do to have this? What must we do to be saved? He said, repent. That just means make an about face, turn around. God, forgive me. Lord, I'm going the other way now. Forgive me, God. Clean me from my sins. Cleanse me. That's all it is. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray. Let your Spirit and your hand, Lord, your presence rest in this house right now. That the hungry may be filled. God, that those in need of you, God, could receive you in Jesus' name.